Would you turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the New Testament Scriptures and to the book of Hebrews, to Hebrews chapter 11. As you're finding your place, can I thank the Reverend Patterson for his welcome along to the meeting. It's a real joy for me to be with you in your beautiful new building here in Kilkeel. We commend the congregation here for for their labours, for their endeavours, and for we rejoice with you for what the Lord has done. And we pray that God will bless you in this new building and that you might know in the will of God in the weeks and months ahead times of reviving and refreshing. And right across our province, in all of our congregations and in every faithful, like-minded witness, may God come once again and move in our midst and move in our land. I would like to wish you all God's blessing for 2015 in his will. Let's read together, please, from Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, unheavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Amen. We'll end our reading here at verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 11. The close of the old year and the dawn of another new year reminds us all, brethren and sisters, that we have no continuing city here, but we seek one which is to come. And as pilgrims who are bound by God's grace to Emmanuel's land, we need a faith that will outlive 2014. And this is why we not only believe in the preservation of the elect, we also believe in the perseverance of the elect. As we read through the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we read time and time again how God preserves his people. And not only how God preserves his people, but how the true elect of God persevere in the pilgrimage unto the journey's end. Now that was an important point for Paul to make to these Hebrew Christians. They were wavering. Some of them were going back to Judaism. And Paul wanted to show them from their own history and from the examples of faith in their own history that those who truly know God, they're not only preserved and kept by the power of God, but they persevere in the way of God and in the faith of the elect of God. Much of the focus of Hebrews chapter 11 is placed on the faith of one family, the family of the patriarch Abraham. It's wonderful to notice, and that's why I took time to read down the passage with you, the faith of his wife Sarah. She's also included. Wonderful when husband and wife are united as one in the things of God. So is his son Isaac. So is his grandson Jacob. So is his great-grandson Joseph. And that line of grace, it just comes from Abraham right down into the family circle and it radiates out into that whole family tree. We can say tonight, you're not saved because you're in a family. But certainly the perseverance and the preservation of God is seen by grace in families. And that is something we praise his name for. The faith of this family is, I think, collectively commended in verse 13 to 16 of Hebrews chapter 11. Year in, year out, they persevered in the faith. Can you imagine all of the attacks of heathenism upon them there in the land of Canaan? They had to fight the enemy all round about them. And yet, brethren and sisters, being surrounded by the enemy, they kept on pressing on with God. They kept on persevering in the faith of the elect of God. Oftentimes, we have to lament, sadly, those who fall by the wayside. But it is my belief that God's word teaches us that those who have the true faith of God's elect persevere to the journey's end. They might waver, they might fall, they might falter, but they will eventually persevere to the journey's end. This is the perseverance of the saints that Hebrews chapter 11 teaches us about. As we come to the end of 2014, I think we have to stop here at this little passage of Scripture, especially this text, verse 13 to 16. And we have to see what type of persevering faith will take us through the new year in the will of God. What is the faith of the elect of God? And how will it see us through 2015? As it has preserved us in this old year. As it has enabled us to persevere in this old year. How will it enable us to persevere in the days that lie ahead? Well, first of all, notice with me that this is the faith, brethren and sisters, that sustains the saints right up to death. I love how it's put in verse 13, they all died. As a fact, we all have to die, but these ones that are mentioned, and I think it is a collective commendation of Abraham's family, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they all died in the faith. They all persevered right to the end. The subject of what type of faith is dealt with in the opening verses of this chapter, and we'll not take time to go back there, but just we can say it's electing faith, it's justifying faith, it's sanctifying faith, it's glorifying faith. This is the faith of God's elect, and this is the faith with which we persevere to the journey's end. Now let me say to you tonight, you cannot die in the faith if you've never lived the life of faith. We do believe, and I'll qualify what I said there, we do believe in deathbed conversions, and we thank God for them. But they are the exception, brethren and sisters, they are not the rule. How many deathbed conversions are recorded in the Bible? Very few. How many deathbed conversions have I been at in over 30 years in the ministry? Very few. It is a blessing to know right up to the last hour, right up to the last minute, there's mercy to be found. But the general rule is this. If you want to die in the faith, you need to live the life of faith. Remember old Balaam in the Old Testament scriptures, a very religious man in his own way. He wanted to die the death of the righteous, but he didn't want to live the life of the righteous. And there are many in gospel pews, just like the ones you're sitting on here tonight in Kilkeel, just like the ones down in Analogue, just like ones right across our land tonight. There are many, week by week, in such pews. And they want to die the death of the righteous, but they don't want to live the life of the righteous. And let me warn you again, you can go direct to hell from that gospel pew, hoping that one day you're going to die the death of the righteous, all the while refusing to live the life of the righteous. Am I describing you, the closing moments of this old year, in the church but not in Christ, and not knowing the grace of God in your life? What is it then which prepares a soul to die in the faith? Those who die in the faith, brethren and sisters, they have faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not some bland, abstract idea or philosophy that we are trusting in. We're trusting in a person. We're trusting in the person of the second person of the Trinity, the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're trusting in his work on our behalf. We're trusting in what he is doing within our own lives. We're trusting in what he is preparing for us in glory, which is yet to come. We're trusting in Christ. Now tell me, have you trusted in him? Are you resting in him at this very time? It's lovely to visit those, even as I have done in the past few weeks. Our brother Reverend Patterson was mentioning our brother George McConnell. Lovely to visit George in hospital and to hear him quote that lovely hymn. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. Just resting in Jesus and what he has done and what he is doing and what he has promised to do for us. Just resting in him. That's all you need. You just need the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him this night. To live that life of faith, you must be prepared to acquire a knowledge of the things that are divine. We love to sing sometimes that hymn, more about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show. That's growing in grace. You grow in grace when you know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. You grow in grace, brethren and sisters, and you walk the life of faith when you spend time with him, taking time to be holy and spending time with the Lord, taking time out of the day to spend it with him. How will you ever get to know him if you don't spend time with him, meditating upon what he has said to you through his own precious word, dwelling on who he is, meditating on who he is? The whole general exhortation of the book of Hebrews is to consider Christ. And that's what I'm saying to you in this final moment of 2014. Consider Christ. And what he is will not only take you to death, it will take you over death into glory and into Emmanuel's life and that which lies ahead. Secondly, from the text, notice again with me, this is faith that enables the individual to stand apart from the world. Verse 13. I love this opening phrase. It says here, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And look at it. And they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The two terms, though they are similar, they are not identical. The one refers to the position taken, a stranger. The other refers to the condition whilst in that situation, a pilgrim. This is my condition on earth. I am a stranger. But this is the condition that I am here in. I'm a pilgrim. I'm not staying here. I'm just passing through. We've passed through 2014. We're passing in to 2015. Brethren and sisters, there's not one of us are staying here. And some people like to hold on. But no matter how tight you hold on, you can't stay here. We're just pilgrims. We're just strangers that are passing through. These people were strangers because their home was in heaven. Their citizenship was taken out somewhere else in a city whose builder and maker was God. And they were pilgrims because they were traveling to that heavenly destination. There are many in this little land of ours that we love and hold dear, and they make much of their national citizenship. But brethren and sisters, you and I are called to make much more of our heavenly citizenship. We are citizens of the heavenly land. We are citizens that are traveling to that new Jerusalem. And one day we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in it. I wonder, by your lifestyle, do you really confess that you're a stranger here or a pilgrim here? There are many Christians, and they're not strangers to the world. They're in love with the world. And they have the idea that they're here to stay. Here is the right balance. Yes, we're here, but we're strangers. Yes, we're here, but we're only passing through. We're just pilgrims. Watch your lifestyle, believer, that you're not giving out a lie. The analogies that are used here, I think, are very powerfully applied to our own lives. I'll read you out what A.W. Pink said. He gave good advice of those who want to evidence that they're strangers and pilgrims. He said, by using the things of this world when necessity requires, but not abusing them. By being contented with that portion of this world's goods which God has designed. By conscientiously seeking to discharge our own responsibility and not being a busybody in other men's matters. By being moderate and temperate in all things. By daily keeping in mind the brevity and the uncertainty in life. This is how we keep the balance. This faith led them to declare that they were living for eternity, the hereafter. As pilgrims and strangers, this is the faith of God's elect. We live with eternity in view. You know, this new year could see some of us in God's eternity. Our pilgrimage could be over, and we'll give an account. Let us live with that day in view. That's the faith of the elect of God's people, and that's what enables us to stand out in this world. It's not been awkward or contrary. It's faith that makes the difference. Finally, let's notice it's the faith of those who are seeking out a heavenly country. Verse 14 to 16. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And in that country, it is a country that is not earthly but is heavenly. The saints of God declare themselves strangers in the world, pilgrims in the world, by making it plain that they have a better inheritance. Their inheritance is laid up for them in that heavenly country. What a place that heavenly country must be, because God sent his Son from it. Can we imagine what it must be like if the Lord Jesus Christ is the only representative who came from heaven to earth to tell us what that heavenly country is really like? We speak of the land of the blessed, but oh, what must it be to be there? It is from this heavenly land that we're born again, because we're born from above. It is in this heavenly land that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Up there, there's an investment bank that God has, and he has laid up in store treasures for his own people. We're seeking that country. And one day, safely, every one of God's own blood-washed and blood-bought people, they're going to land on that heavenly shore. How we rejoice that we're going to such a city. Then, as Isaac Watts wrote in that lovely hymn we sang from, then shall we see his face and never, never sin. There from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in. Seeking out the heavenly country. May the Lord quicken our footsteps tonight. Don't be staying here, dear soul. You can't stay here. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that you can stay here. One day your pilgrimage will end. And if you haven't got the faith of God's elect, that persevering faith in your heart and life, rather than enter in, you'll be shut out for all of eternity. The final invitation of 2014, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen.